In the Bible, you're going to have to find Matthew chapter 16. It's on page 983. Okay. Now, even though I've said I'm going to read from verse 21, I'm going to read a bit before that. Okay? So if you can find verse 13, that will help. Verse 13 of Matthew 16. Same page, just up the road a wee bit. Okay, now it says this. When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say the Son of Man is?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others, Jeremiah or one of the prophets." "But what about you?" he asked. "Who do you say I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You're the Messiah, the Son of the living God." And down to verse 21. Find verse 21. Okay? Says this. From that time on, Jesus began to explain to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things at the hands of the elders, the chief priests, and the teachers of the law, and that he must be killed and on the third day be raised to life. Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. "Never, Lord," he said. "This shall never happen to you." Jesus turned and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You're a stumbling block to me. You do not have in mind the concerns of God, but merely human concerns." Then Jesus said to his disciples, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me will find it. What good will it be for someone to gain the whole world, yet forfeit their soul? Or what can anyone give in exchange for their soul? For the Son of Man is going to come in his Father's glory with his angels, and then he will reward each person according to what they have done. Truly, I tell you, some who are standing here will not taste death before they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom." Amen. This is God's word to us this morning. Now, boys and girls, are you sitting up, ready to listen, facing the front? Okay, everything you guys need to see will be here at the front. As usual, adults, please keep your Bible open at Matthew chapter 16. Now, what I want to tell you about this morning are some of the closest followers in the Bible of the Lord Jesus. Now, does anyone know what his closest followers are called? Oh, I've left a clue up here. Josh, yes. Disciples. Yes. Yeah, that's right, Nathan. And when the Lord Jesus had just started kind of teaching and doing miracles and healing lots of people, he called 12 disciples. Now, he had lots of disciples, lots of followers, but there were 12 in particular that we are told of. Yes, Jamie?
They were fishermen.
Some of them were fishermen, yes. Now, I've got them. I've got some pictures this morning, okay? Matthew, back in chapter 10, tells us their names. So there's Peter, and there's his brother Andrew. They were brothers, and they were fishermen, Jimmy, that's right. And there was James, and there was John. They were brothers as well. And do you know what they did? They were fishermen too. Well done, Grandpa. Okay, all right. Now, there's someone here called Philip. We don't really know much about him. And someone with a really long name that's called Bartholomew. Can you say that? We'll say that together. On three. One, two, three. Bartholomew. Okay. There was Thomas, who didn't believe at first that Jesus was raised from the dead. There's Matthew, the same Matthew we think who wrote this gospel. Another guy called James. Someone with a strange name called Thaddeus, another guy called Simon, and Judas Iscariot, who betrayed the Lord Jesus. 12 disciples. And the Lord Jesus called these 12 disciples to come follow him, to leave what they were doing, come follow him. And then, after the Lord Jesus had returned back to heaven, he said to them, "What I want you to do is go and make more disciples. Go and make more followers of the Lord Jesus." Is that right? 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. Yeah, I did count right, Benji. Yeah, I did. That's great. And the Lord Jesus instructed these 12 people to pass on his message, why he came, why he died on the cross, why he rose from the dead to others. And they did that, and others took that message and passed it on to others, all the way down to us, those of us who call ourselves followers of the Lord Jesus this morning. Do you know one of the most important questions that you can ever be asked? And I don't want anyone to shout out. I just want you to think quietly in your head. Here's the question. Are you a follower of the Lord Jesus? Are you a disciple like these men? Today, from Matthew 16, we're going to learn at least some of what it means to be a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I'm going to take most of these guys off so that I've got space on my board. But if you want to come and see any of them later, just come and ask me after the service. I think we'll maybe leave Peter there, okay? Where was it? Okay, so what does it mean to be a disciple of the Lord Jesus? Here's the first thing, okay? It means that we say, Jesus is King. Jesus is King. We'll say that together. One, two, three. Jesus is King. Jesus was having a quiet moment with his disciples in verse 13. And he asked the disciples, who are people, who do they think that I am? And there was lots of discussion. There was lots of contenders. There was lots of suggestions about who Jesus was. But then the Lord Jesus made it personal to those disciples. He said, I'm not worried about what the crowd thinks. What do you think? Who do you say that I am? That's what Jesus asked the disciples that day. That's what he asks each of us this morning, whether we're young, whether we're really old, whether we're somewhere in the middle. The Lord Jesus asks each of us, who do we think Jesus is? And Peter speaks up for everyone, and he says in verse 16, you are the Messiah. You're the Messiah. Now, that's not a word that you hear much. You might hear it in church, but maybe not many other places. Peter was saying, Jesus, you are King. That's one way of thinking about that word, Messiah. Back in the Old Testament, the first part of our Bible, God had promised his people that he was going to send a special rescuing king, a king who would save his people from their sins, who would bring them back to worshiping God. And Peter had been with the Lord Jesus. He'd seen lots of miracles. He'd heard lots of teaching. He'd been there when they fed the 5,000, when the paralyzed man got healed, when blind people got healed. Peter had seen the Lord Jesus raise someone back from the dead. And when the Lord Jesus said to Peter, who do you think I am, Peter? He said, you are God's Messiah. You're the King. If we are going to be disciples of the Lord Jesus, it often starts by saying, Jesus, you are my King. Does anyone still do join the dot puzzles? Anyone still do join? Yeah, you like to join the dots? You get the idea. Anyone not know what a join the dot puzzle is? Do I have to explain that to anyone? Okay, good, good. You know what join the dots? You get an amazing picture at the end. Matthew, all through his gospel about the Lord Jesus, his book about Jesus, has been putting dots on the page for us to join. And with God's help, we get to join the dots. And you get an amazing picture. And Peter has joined some of the dots. And what he says is, Jesus is King. And Matthew wants us to join the dots about Jesus so that when we've joined the dots, what we get is an amazing picture. No, that's not a picture of Jesus, okay? That's a picture of like a, I don't know, is that a goat? I wasn't sure when I printed it off what it was. It's a goat, yeah. But you get the idea. When you join the dots, you get an amazing picture. And Peter had joined the dots and got an amazing... He said, Jesus, you're the Messiah. Matthew wants us to come to the same conclusion. The Bible has given us all the evidence we need to trust that Jesus is our Messiah, our King. And I wonder this morning, have you personally come to say, Jesus, you're my King? In your head again, just think, have I done that? Have you said that, Jesus, you're the King that I need? You're the Savior that had to die for my sins? I want to speak for a moment, especially if your mum or dad are disciples or followers of Jesus, young people. Or maybe teenagers, I want to speak to you as well. If you come from a home where maybe mom, dad are Christians, or maybe grandparents, you see, your mom and dad might say that Jesus is King. But you've got to decide for yourself. Someone said to me once, you cannot be a second-hand disciple. You've got to believe it. You see, my mom and dad believe that Jesus is King, but I've got to decide myself. It's not a decision someone else can make for you. And I wonder if you say that Jesus is your King. There's lots more we learn about what it is to be a disciple of Jesus. Here's the second thing. First one, disciples say Jesus is King. The next one, a disciple knows why Jesus died. Actually, it's more than that. It's that they know why Jesus died and they trust that he died for them. Look at verse 21. From that time on, Jesus began to explain to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things at the hands of the elders, the chief priests, and the teachers of the law, and that he must be killed and on the third day raised to life. As Peter says, Jesus, you're the Messiah. Jesus begins to explain what it meant for him to be the Messiah. He told his disciples that certain things must happen to him. Okay? Did you read that? Oh, I'm going to need some help. Vic, Lizzie, could you come and help me for a moment? Ailey, just because you're nearby. Okay? There are certain things Jesus explains. Okay? Just stand here and hold these up. Okay? Ailey, just join the end of that queue. Okay? Jesus said to Peter, this is what it meant for him to be, other way around. Yeah, that's the one. Okay, we'll get to that. Turn that around, Ailey. Other way. Perfect, that's it. Yes, now we're on the same page. See how well we rehearsed this? Brilliant. Okay, we're doing it live. Jesus said to Peter and his disciples that certain things must happen for him to be the Messiah. He must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things. He must be killed. And also he must be raised to life. Now let me tell you, why must those things happen to Jesus for him to be God's Messiah? Well, let me tell you, the events of the death and resurrection of the life of Jesus were not a surprise. They weren't just a kind of series of random events. God had promised that all this was going to take place to his Messiah. It had to happen for Jesus to be King. One of the places we're told about it is through the prophet Isaiah. It was written 700 years before the Lord Jesus was born. And he said some amazing things about God's Messiah. Here's one of the first things he said. Remember, Jesus has got to go to Jerusalem, suffer many things. Vic, twist it round. Twist it round the other way. Yes, brilliant. Other way. No, you were right the first time. Okay. See, brilliant in rehearsal. Excellent. Look at what Isaiah says about the Lord Jesus. Remember, this was 700 years before Jesus. Can you guys see okay? Yeah? But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Isaiah prophesied that Jesus, God's Messiah, had to go to Jerusalem and suffer many things. He prophesied that God's Messiah had to die. Listen, next. Isaiah said, for he was cut off from the land of the living. The Messiah was going to die, but he must be raised to life. Eli, after he has suffered, Isaiah said, he will see the light of life and be satisfied. Okay, you guys can go sit down, all right? Thankfully. No, I'm only kidding. Okay, thank you guys. Thank you so much. Why were these things promised before Jesus was born? Why did he explain that he had to go to Jerusalem and suffer and die and be raised to life? Well, these things had to happen to Jesus if you and I are to know peace with God. Why do we need peace with God? Because I and everyone else are sinners. What I deserve is God's punishment of hell. So much of my life, I've spent disobeying God, not living his way, doing what he says not to do and not doing what he says to do. I'm guilty. And I need peace with God. And Jesus needed to suffer and die to take the punishment of my sins, of all our sins, if we are to be welcomed into God's family. Jesus is God's Messiah, the King, because he went to Jerusalem, because he did hand himself over to the elders, the chief priests, the teachers of the law, because he was killed, and then because he came back from the dead. As anyone puts their trust in the Lord Jesus, we are completely forgiven of all our sins. He really is our Messiah. And he rose from the dead to show us that his plan really worked. He really is the King. And he died in the place of disciples. Let me go back to join the dots for a moment. Okay, back to join the dots. What happens if you don't join the dots properly? What happens if you get in a bit of a muddle or you go to the wrong number? What happens? It doesn't make sense, does it? You don't get that lovely picture. Instead of this, you get this. Yeah. No, that's just my mess, Jamie. That's what it is. Okay? When you don't join the dots properly, what you end up with is a mess. Now, Peter had joined some of the dots, but not all of them. And so he takes Jesus aside and says, Jesus, no, you're not going to go to Jerusalem. You're not going to die. That's not going to happen. But Jesus says, Peter, it has to happen. To be God's Messiah, to be our saving King, he's got to go and do those things. Now, thankfully, later on, Peter will join the dots. He will understand. But disciples, all disciples, say that Jesus is King, but they know and trust that Jesus died and was raised to life for them. Maybe this morning, for the first time, you want to become a disciple of the Lord Jesus. We're going to have a moment's quiet. And if you would like to, why not pray these words after me, just quietly to yourself. Let's pray it. Let's bow our heads. Okay? And if you want to say them, you say them. Lord Jesus, I believe that you are God's rescuing King. I know why you died and rose again. Please forgive my sins. Please help me to follow you from this day forward. In Jesus' name, amen. There's one more thing I want to tell you about what it means to follow Jesus from this passage. The last thing is this. Disciples say Jesus is King. They know and believe why Jesus died. And the last thing that Matthew tells us here is that disciples of Jesus walk his way. Disciples walk his way. Don't know why there's a spelling mistake, but it doesn't matter. Verse 24. Then Jesus said to his disciples, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. Did you hear the word there? Whoever wants to be my disciple. Another word for whoever is anyone. Anyone. Walking in the path that Jesus walked, following Jesus the way that he wants us to follow him, is not an option for some people, but not others. For some Christians, for keen Christians, but maybe not for every Christian. If anyone, whoever. Do you think that means everyone? Yeah. Jesus issues a command to his disciples to follow him. And it's not some days of the week, but not others. It's not some times of the day. The morning you can follow Jesus, but do what you want in the afternoon. It's all day, every day, no matter where we are or what we're doing. Now, what does it mean to follow in Jesus' footsteps? Well, a couple of things. It means that we'll say no to some things, and it means we'll say yes to some things. What are we going to say no to? Well, Jesus says we've got to say no to ourselves. Jesus says his disciples deny themselves. That might mean stopping doing what I want to do and saying, Lord Jesus, what would you have me do? It's transferring me being in control of my life and saying, Lord Jesus, I want you to be in control of my life. It means not doing what I want, when I want, or thinking that I'm the best, that I'm so clever. It's saying no to being self-centered and proud and arrogant. To deny myself means to stop focusing on me. And that is really, 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 really hard to do. We need the help of the Lord Jesus. But if we are going to be disciples of Jesus, we need to say no to ourselves. And we need to say yes to sacrifice. Well, think about this. When the Lord Jesus went to the cross, he wasn't dying for himself there. He was dying for us, for our good. And the Lord Jesus is saying he wants us, his disciples, his followers, to live like that, to live to please him for the good of others. I want to tell you a story. We're nearly done. Where's my clicker? Here's a picture of someone from a long, long time ago. Okay? His name is Mr. Judson. Okay, Mr. Judson. Mr. Judson was born in 1788, so a long, long time ago, and he was from America. He fell in love with a woman called Anne. Okay? Isn't that lovely? Yeah? Lovely. He wrote to Anne's dad asking, can I marry Anne? Is that okay? Let me read out some of the letter. I've changed the language a bit so you can understand it. He said this, would you part with your daughter and let her marry me? It might be the last time that you see her. You see, Mr. Judson wanted Anne to go with him to a place where they had never heard about Jesus before. And he and Anne would go and tell people about Jesus. But he thought that he and Anne would die doing it. And so he asked her dad, would you let her marry me knowing that she might die? If you were Anne's dad, would you have said yes or no chance? Seriously, what would you have said? Her dad said yes. And Mr. Judson and Anne went to a place called Myanmar, Burma, and old money. And she did die. But today, there are over 4,000 churches in Burma. And there have been thousands upon thousands of Christians because of the work that Mr. Judson and Anne started way, way back because they went there to tell others about the Lord Jesus. When was the last time following Jesus cost you and me something, anything? You see, the Lord Jesus says to us today, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. He says, if we're not willing to do it, well, listen to how he goes on. Whoever wants to save their life will lose it. But whoever loses their life for me will find it. What good will it be for someone to gain the whole world, yet forfeit their soul? You might not want to follow Jesus, but there'll be a day of judgment. And if we're not willing to follow Jesus like this now, then he'll be ashamed of us when we stand before him. And he may well say to us, "You were never my follower." Loads of us confess to be disciples of Jesus. Are we walking his way? Are we following his footsteps? Are we denying ourselves, taking up our cross, and following him? Let's pray, shall we? Our Father in heaven, truly would we deny ourselves to follow Jesus? Would we be willing to sacrifice? Father, maybe for some of us, you need to make life a little bit more uncomfortable that we would trust Jesus in these things. Please forgive us when we want an easy life following Jesus. Would we love him more than we love the comforts of this world? Father, help us to joyfully serve him, to follow him wherever that means, that others would hear of his great name, that others would say, "Yes, Jesus is my King." And we pray this in his name. Amen.